Blessings, Jesus, on this offering that we receive. You would bless the gift. You would bless the giver. You would bless those who have been obedient. And we just thank you, God, that we can have a part in spreading the light of the world through our town and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. You know, it seems like it was just the other day that I was here with the task of being able to speak, and I looked at my notes, and if I'm right, it was September. So, it wasn't just the other day, but it seems like the other day. Anyway, at that time, the word that I had from the Lord was had to do with shouting for joy was the word that I had, and today the Lord gave me a different one, just as simple a concept, standing in awe. So let's pray. God, I just ask that you would take over, that this wouldn't be anything about me, but it would be all about you, that the words that we go over today are vital, and it will hit us all where we live, that it would be something that we could use and something that would increase our walk with you, Lord Jesus. And let's commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the thoughts that I had this morning were about Christmas a little bit. It's how, you know, we begin with that idea of celebrating Jesus' birth. And we have the lights and the manger scene and all that. And I thought, I know this isn't an original thought at all, but how it really reduces the creator of the universe to this little baby that the world can put in a nice little neat package and just kind of, oh, isn't that cute? And that's okay, I guess. It's okay to think of that and remember the cuteness of the baby Jesus and all that. But, you know, that baby came to fulfill a promise of God. And that baby grew up and fulfilled a mission from God to us. And I thought about that. And what a thing to think about, how truly big God is, how awesome he is. As Nancy was saying, how he comes down individually to us to meet our needs. He doesn't just throw this blanket blessing on the earth and just say, there you go. He meets our individual needs and knows us by name. Just God is just so awesome. And that creates a sense of awe in me. But it was funny, the other day as I was driving to work and worshiping the Lord, he just gave this little simple, I forget, I didn't look up the term, the English term where you have this acrostic, A-W-E, for awe. And I just wanted to share that with you, that the three things that I see in awe are, A is to acknowledge him. We'll talk about acknowledging him in all our ways. W is to worship him. And E is to experience his presence. And so we'll go through those three things today. We're told to do a lot of things in Scripture. That last, second to last song, Lord, we'll worship you, but
you're
worthy to be praised, and I praise you. You're worthy to be loved, and I love you. Well, those things are all commands of God. Not only is he worthy of those things, but we're commanded by Scripture. And I wanted to run through a couple scriptures. If you want to just have me read them to you, that's fine. Or if you want to look them up, that's okay. It'll probably take too long because I have an awful lot of them. But that's good for me. If I spend more time reading the Word than babbling off the top of my head, then you guys are going to get the Word anyway. So we'll trust that that's what he wants to do. First scripture I have is Deuteronomy 6:5. And in there, we're simply told to love the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's a command from the Word. That's a big thing. Loving the Lord with everything that I am. What am I? what am I? If I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my strength, all my heart, well, what is my heart? How do I do that? And that isn't the point. That isn't the message this morning. I don't want to spend a lot of time on these individually to refresh our memory about these things. But that's a big question. How do I do that? How do I love God? How do I show him that I love him? How do I put my heart into that? Jeremiah 5:21-22 says, I'm not putting anybody down here, but this is just the Word. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? And that was a question I asked myself this week. Should I not? The answer is, truthfully, I don't very often. I wasn't trembling in fear this morning as I entered into his presence. And I'm not saying that I should be all the time, but I think there is that reverential respect for God to know that just, yeah, he's that little baby in the manger. It came in that form is Jesus to us, and he came as a friend to us in the form of a human man that we could look to and relate to, that experienced this human life as we do. And so for that reason, it simplifies God to some extent. But we are still talking about the one that calls everything into existence, that orders our steps, that knew us before we were born. That same Creator is that same God that we're told to love and to fear in a respectful way. So we're told to love God, we're told to fear him. Hebrews 12:28-29 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. And again, there's the command, serve God. We love him, we respect him, we fear him, and we need to serve him. There's all these commands. Deuteronomy again, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. It's one of those conditional things. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So, big, mighty, awesome, conditional, however, promise that if we'll obey him, that he's got lots in store for us. So there's another command I see in scriptures, that we need to obey him. And another one, again, most of these things were even touched on that song. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise, this God promises us, this creator of the universe, I promise that your house and your father's house would minister to me forever. But, declares the Lord, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be disdained. Yes, God, he started off saying, you know what, I'm just going to honor this nation. I'm going to honor Israel. But they threw it back in my face so often. Here's the deal. If you'll honor me, I'm going to honor you. And I think that deal still holds for us today. If we will honor God in our life, He's going to bring honor to our life in return. And that's just the way I see God working. And He works in spite of that, and that's that grace. We know that He works as a God of grace. We know that even when we're wandering away on our own and not honoring God with our life, that there's that mercy of His that just won't let us wander away too far. And we've fallen so hard on that mercy and that grace, and that's good to rely on it, but I think we've fallen on His mercy and relied on His grace just a little too easily. And there's been many words. That isn't where I really wanted to go with this, but just reminders of some of the things that we've been told to do. So, again, we're not going to probably have any debate. All those scriptures are really clear, I think, and we've heard them all before in different ways, and there's many other scriptures that support those things. But one of the things that I really don't do, that, again, it's just one of those same commands, just as I'm told to love God and to serve Him and honor Him, there's scriptures that say that we're supposed to stand in awe of Him, and that's where I wanted to go. So what is it, really, to stand in awe of the Lord? The things that I saw in the Word that indicated just a hint of what He's talking about is, think about times when the Lord sent messengers to, because, you know, I don't think we could take seeing God, we couldn't take seeing God face to face in this mortal body, but He sent messengers at times. And what was man's response to those messengers? In the biblical account in Luke about the messengers coming to the shepherds, they were sore afraid. They were terrified, is an updated version of that, sore afraid and terrified just to see this sight of these angelic beings. And there's other instances in Scripture where angelic beings, and we're even told one likened to the Son of Man would come, and people would just fall down and tremble in fear. Moses had that experience when he realized he was in God's presence. So I think that's a little bit about what is supposed to at least be happening on the inside, and perhaps not so less often on the outside, when we truly kneel in worship and fall prostrate before Him. There is place for that. And again, I just feel like we're well indoctrinated as Christians into God's love and mercy and being able to receive those things. At the same time, we need to recognize His holiness, His magnificence. So anyway, I just hope that we can see over the next few minutes here as we go through a few more scriptures, some promises and some things that God will do with us and do in us as we hold that place of awe for Him. So my first real key scripture for this message this morning is Psalm 33, verse 8. In fact, let's just turn there to Psalm 33. I'm going to go ahead and let's just read this whole psalm. I didn't plan on this, but it's just really, it really fits. Psalm 33, and I'm reading out of the NIV. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the sea into storehouses, the deep into storehouses. And the key scripture, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. And it's translated in King James, that particular verse, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And so that's where the key text for the Word comes this morning. Well, let's go ahead and read on. Verses 9, for He spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations and thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Thank goodness for that, and not the purposes of my heart. Huh? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and He sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, no king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all his great strength, it cannot save. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, or we could say of those who stand in awe of him, and those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen. Trusting in God, singing joyfully to him, but in underneath all that, recognizing that's, I'm not beginning, this is all my introduction, long-winded introduction, the rest of it will go a little quicker. But in any case, you know, we do need to recognize who this person is that we're dealing with. I think we really need, he's the one that does that. He sets the earth on its foundation. He spoke the stars into existence by his breath. I mean, this isn't just a mere baby in a manger. The word for standing in awe that comes out of that Psalm 33, verse 8, is the word gur. And I thought it was an interesting, as many of them are, very interesting when you look at a word and start looking at its meaning. It says to turn aside from the road. Standing in awe, turning it, what? You know, how does that work? And I thought, well, gosh, that's what we're doing here. We're turning aside from the road, from that busy thing out there called life, and taking time for him to turn aside from that busy road and stand in his presence and really just recognize who he is. And there's more to the definition, but I think that really serves to set this up, is that we are to turn aside from ourself and our life and our road and stand in awe of him and recognize him. So again, those three things we're going to look at. The first of the three for AWE is the A of acknowledging him. And I just put this, I said, doesn't it make sense that in order to come to God and stand in awe of him, that you must believe in him? We can't really stand in awe of a God that we don't believe in. So we must acknowledge him by believing in him, by acknowledging him, by having faith in him, by trusting him, by doing all those things. That's saying, yes, Lord, I see who you are, I recognize who you are, and I take a hold of that and I believe in you. So I'm going to acknowledge you by believing in you. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have to come to him, we have to believe that he really does exist, and he exists for us. He exists because he created us. We exist to serve him, and he exists, and we acknowledge that existence. So when you stop to consider this verse, it should begin to dawn on us that there's something really special going on. There's a God, and he loves us. This God loves us, and I think we need to respond to that love. So my question in acknowledging God, and just one of these little simple checklist things as we go along, is where do I fall short? Where do I come short of acknowledging God? You know, we can get busy so that we don't take that time in the morning. I think it's really important just to start off your day acknowledging God. Start off right from the beginning to set your day on its right course. And myself, I think the world's worst invention is a snooze alarm, because it's so easy just to reach over and say, oh, a few more minutes, and then my time is gone. So I should probably throw that thing away. Anyway. So I guess the answer is, what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for to just start? Okay, we know this is all it takes. It's not hard. This stuff is pretty easy, but we just don't do it. It's that stubborn human nature that we just refuse to do the simple things that we know to do. The second letter of the word awe is worship, and so we should worship him. And I feel like the shepherds had the right idea, and God kind of orchestrated that. When the shepherds were in the fields watching over their flocks by night, this angelic host showed up praising God, worshiping him, singing glory to God in the highest. You know, that's the response that God is looking for when we encounter him, is to worship him. I have this really neat, I think it's a really neat illustration I wanted to share with you guys. One of the things that I feel is lacking in worship, and lacking in my personal worship, and maybe some others too, is just that sense of awe of God. That we just kind of lock into our, this is where we show up, and this is what we do, and we do it in this way, and I can't get too excited because, well, I'm just a reserved person, and we get all caught up with who we are and what we're about, that we just, you know, we need, who is this? What are we doing? And this little illustration I thought was kind of appropriate. It really encompasses a lot of things. Standing at the South Pole is like standing in the eye of a hurricane. It's deceivingly calm. The quietness seems inconsistent with the fact that mighty winds originate there. How is this possible? As warm air from the equator flows in over the polar region, it descends, it becomes cold and dense, and it sinks to the frigid surface. Since the ice-covered plateau tapers off towards the oceans, and no mountains of other obstacles stand in the way, gravity pulls the heavy, cold air down the smooth slopes. The wind picks up tremendous speed as it moves northward towards the equator. Gradually, it is heated by the sun and begins to rise, creating a circular pattern to drive the Earth's weather machine that is so vital to our existence. For Christians, quiet times of prayer and worship also give rise to great power. They might seem non-productive because nothing appears to be happening. Our urge is almost compulsive. We want to move and do and work and worry and struggle. Yet, at the heart of accomplishing things for God must be that regular experience of calm followed by an unobstructed flow of energy. In other words, worship is like the eye of the hurricane or standing at the South Pole. The great power of God is all around us. And I just thought about how that's a lot like worship. Maybe we're not experiencing and seeing that mighty rushing wind or the windows shaking or the great outward signs, but that power of God begins just like that for us. He inhabits our praises, it says, and as we praise Him, that power just becomes a force to be reckoned with in our lives. So I thought it was a really powerful illustration of worship and how important worship is to us. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 say this, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I had an experience I was sharing with Nancy this yesterday evening coming up here by myself, and I guess that's an indictment on me that usually it's only when I'm by myself that I feel free enough to do crazy things. But I was listening to a worship tape, and I just got into it. And next thing I knew, I was shouting at the top of my lungs. Just, it wasn't very musical, I'll guarantee you. It was a shout. I started laughing because it was so silly sounding to my ears. But it just came over me, and I felt pretty darn free. And that power just, man, I just went, woo, what could stop me now, man? There's nothing in this world but me and the Lord right now. And I really had an experience. And it was silly. It was how simple it was. How stupid is this dumb thing of shouting along and singing and just basically being a nut, you know? And I was really free. And again, it was because I was by myself. I don't generally feel that free, but break that nut and crack that shell, because, boy, I think if we all would do that, we might be foolish for a while, but boy, you're going to have a bunch of happy, free people when they leave here. And I just thought, I think that's what he's talking about. In spirit and truth, that was my spirit going for it. There was no flesh involved there. I was not restricted by the worries of the world and what are people going to think and all that sort of stuff. And I know there's more to worshiping in spirit and truth than just that. But that's what I felt the Lord was saying to me, was the more freedom you experience, I think that's the element of truth that he's talking about. There's nothing in the way. There's no holds barred. There's no barriers when we just really let our spirit worship. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 8 and 9 say, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. in the morning my spirit longs for you. And then the next test for this one, I said, for me, is am I really doing that? Am I yearning and longing for that experience of the presence of the Lord? Does my spirit crave God the way my flesh craves other things? And that's the test of worship, I think, is am I really yearning and longing for that powerful eye of the hurricane even experience with the Lord? The third letter is E, and that again really dovetails so closely with the others, but for the purposes of sermon points, experiencing his presence, which I believe if we're doing those other things, we're really there. But this is just some more confirmation. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2 say, come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And we've done that. We've extolled him this morning with music and song. And that is the act of our will, to come into his presence in just that way. And in any way we can, to block out the world, to block out the worries and the cares and all those things that tie us down and hold us and keep us back from him. Psalm 95 says about the same thing. I won't even have you go there, but if you want just another reference to talk about coming before him with thanksgiving and singing, Psalm 100 really fits that bill. The Psalms in general really pretty much do fit that. They're pretty unanimous in drawing us into the presence of the Lord and communicating with him as our loving Father. That's really what I see in the entire work of Psalms. Here's another promise, though, from the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this. Again, it's really a big promise the more you ponder it. You have made me, excuse me, let me read that over again. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, and eternal pleasure is at your right hand. God says he'll take care of our pleasure, and he says that he will fill us with joy. I think there is a lot of relationship, a connection between joy and pleasure. If you ask a non-Christian what drives them, what are they looking for, what moves them in life, it's about pleasure. We work so that we can have pleasure. We occupy ourselves with things to give us pleasure, the hobbies, the even eating and drinking and sleeping, all these things, all of the human animal, the fleshy part of man, is geared towards pleasing the flesh. God says he'll please our flesh if we'll draw into his presence. He'll do it. He will fill us with joy. And I thought that was so significant, the more that you think about that, because he wants to be our joy. He wants to be our pleasure. I know he wants to be our joy, but I didn't recognize the depth of he wants to be our pleasure. He wants to be the thing that we turn to when we're needing pleasure, as opposed to the bottle or as opposed to mindless hobbies that just, you know, will burn up when the earth does, you know, and yet he wants to be that source of pleasure for us. We don't have to go seeking it, and we don't have to try to summon it up. I think that's another failing that I have had in my lifetime, is knowing that I'm supposed to be joyful and so trying to muster it up somehow. All right, Lord, I have the joy down in my heart, doggone it. You know, and that's okay. You have to start with something, I think, and that's almost as silly as that thing I was telling you about. Doggone it, Lord, I do want that joy down in my heart. And give it to him. Cut loose and let him have some of that. And be honest with him in it. Anyway, it does need to be a matter of our own personal discipline. We have to do the entering into his presence. And we have to do the thing about not hitting the snooze alarm and getting out, rolling out of bed if need be, falling on my knees and saying, here I am, Lord, to take that step to get there where he can meet me and do his part. He can't do my part if I don't do mine. Well, he could, but that's another story. He usually respects my fleshy self-will. So to wrap it up, stand in awe. Stand in awe of God. Do those things that it takes to be a worshiper of God, to be an acknowledger of him, and to be one that experiences his presence on a daily, even hourly basis. We can't do anything greater than following that little simple formula. What else can we do but do our part and do those things to enter into his presence? If we would begin and end our days with those three little things acknowledging Him, worshiping Him, and experiencing His presence, our walk with the Lord can't help but grow. Our life can't help but be more effective for Him in whatever way He's caused us to be effective. And so I just want to end it with a question. Does anybody here not need to increase their spiritual life and their walk with the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, Your word is so good because we don't really need to do anything by our own strength or power to do anything to it. It just stands on its own. Your word is so rich and deep and full. And in that richness and deepness and fullness, Lord, I find a lacking in myself. I find a need to keep pressing in and drawing closer, Lord. There's a tremendous hunger and need in my spiritual being that's not fully satisfied, Lord. And the degree that it's not satisfied, Lord, I know that it's a degree that I am not doing my part in acknowledging You in all my ways. It says, all my ways. If I would just get that through my thick skull, that if I could acknowledge You in all my ways, Lord, that You'll be there. You'll direct my paths and You'll do Your part. And that as I worship You, Lord, the word says that as I worship You and do my part with that, that You will do Your part and fill me with joy and even fulfill my needs for pleasure. The pleasure that my body and spirit need, You say that You will fulfill. And I thank You for that, Lord. And it all really matters. What it comes down to, what really matters anyway, is that I need to experience You in my daily life. That sometimes when I am not doing my part, I'm not experiencing that joy and peace and the things that You say You'll supply. And then I fall apart. I fall into my old ways. I fall into old means of finding ways to find that pleasure, Lord, by eating things and doing things and buzzing around and getting caught up with the world. And I look up and days and maybe even weeks or months will go by and I realize, Lord, I am falling apart. I need You. So we just thank You and praise You, God, that Your word is faithful. You are faithful to perform Your word for us. And that all we have to do for our part, Lord, is to just, again, it gets right back to the very first thing we said, and that's just acknowledging You and knowing that You are capable of doing all these things that You say You're going to do. Just let us experience You, Lord, this day in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.